Indiana Bible College is committed to training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today. This is the Indiana Bible College podcast. Two items of business here before we bring you the final chapel of this oddity we've known as spring semester 2020. Number one, IBC's latest album, Victory, is available for purchase at voicevision.com and in the iTunes store. You purchase all 16 songs, double disc set, and what do you get? An hour and a half of dynamic praise and worship music. Many of these songs are original, written by Indiana Bible College staff, students, and alumni. I know that you will enjoy joining in with our student body in praise and in worship. Soon, this album will hit streaming services and YouTube, so make sure that if you don't already follow at IBC Promo on social media, that you do that right now. Number two, the Indiana Bible College Distance Learning Program is currently accepting applications for those who wish to continue their studies. This may look like any number of items. Perhaps you're a recent high school graduate, congratulations, by the way, who is looking to sharpen your biblical knowledge while attending a local college or university. Perhaps you're a minister looking to dig deeper into the Word of God, or perhaps you're looking to complete a degree that you have already started, but for one reason or another have not finished. Visit ibcdl.com for enrollment information and to begin your application today. For sure, no one thought that the spring 2020 semester would unfold as it has. A three-month period of biblical proportions where digital meetings and online church services have become commonplace. Our podcast today can be viewed on the IBC Facebook page and is the final chapel gathering of the spring 2020 semester. Currently, we are just 1 week out from this chapel service, and the video has already reached over 25,000 people. Thank you for all of you who have already tuned into the final chapel over on Facebook. For those who have not yet, here is Pastor Paul D. Mooney preaching the final chapel of spring 2020 at Indiana Bible College.
President, Assistant General Superintendent, please put your hands together and welcome Pastor Mooney.
Hands to the Lord and give Him praise. I think you can do it a little bit louder than that here in this tabernacle, and those that are joining us by the way of the electronic path. God bless. Did we get some singing just a little while ago? If you're in this building, go ahead, put your hands together. Wow, that was great. I wanted them to sing a little bit more. I want to welcome, of course, all of our staff that's here. Not all are here, but thank you for being here, and thank you for your work. And all of us in the churches and in our families and certainly in colleges and wherever, we're having so much tremendous pressure that's being put on our nation and the world as it pertains to all of this sickness. And we do all need to be conscious of how important it is for us to seek out the will and purposes of God for whatever is happening. So we are very thankful for the fact that we know God. So let's keep praying. And I want to say thanks to all the staff that are here and those that could not be here. Thank you very much for being part of something that I think is really magnificent, and that is Indiana Bible College, because we have evidence that our students have been going out over the past few years, becoming missionaries, having tremendous revivals, and pastoring churches, and God has been using them in a special way. And it's very humbling to think how God has moved into our lives and helped us. And we have to keep on keeping on. And as life goes on and the world goes on, we all get older. We all get different concepts of ourselves. And the will of God is often different from one level to the other, but just keep on focusing on what God has given us to do, and don't be weary in well-doing, for you are going to prosper. And we're thankful for all the students, for those of you that have come, and with permission of your pastors and your families, and we're so proud of you, and we've just gone through a terrible, terrible time here, but we don't want to lose your connection, and we don't want to forget what we're all about, and we're certainly wanting you to remember the will and calling of God in your life, and don't ever take that for something insignificant. If there's a call of God in your life, all of you students that are listening, please pay attention, because where you are right now, you don't know exactly where God is going to take you and how he's going to minister to your life. They that wait upon the Lord. And there's a good deal of our lives in which we spend time just waiting on God. But you have to keep on keeping on. So I pray that you will do that. And we're asking all of you to be faithful. And I'm hoping every one of you can make it back to IBC. And that the Lord will help you. And we do want you to stay in touch in every way you can. And I know our staff's going to be working hard and staying in touch with everyone. And a lot of dates are floating around. And we know we're going to have different kinds of calendars in these summer days and fall. And so I'm not here to talk about all of that. But do stay in touch. And don't forget that we're thinking of you. And I believe God has great things for you to do. So whatever is happening in my life or your life, you could feel like this is slowing down. Something's happening in my life. But be careful, because God knows exactly what he's doing. And as I say, all the stuff that we're facing around the world, and probably this generation, well, certainly in this generation, nobody's ever seen anything like this before. Some of our grandfathers and great-grandfathers saw similar things that we're going through right now. So God is with us. And everything is going to be all right. So allow me, I've tried to say that, that's why I have two in case I drop one. So I think I can get by with this, that's fine. Thank you very, very much for being here. And I hope that you will just stay with us. And I promise not to go more than 2 or 3 hours here, so hang in. And I want to just start out with a little thought. I don't know how this came to me the other day, but I had a little box. I think it was triggered by a little box. I had a little box, and the box was a brown little box, and it's still sitting in my library. And I looked at it, and I'd forgotten about it, but I was looking at it, and it had some stitching on it and other things. And I moved it, and when I moved it, I set it across the room, and I just went back to my chair, and I thought, that looks like that little small television that I saw for the first time in my life. And I got up and I turned it around and I thought, wow, I remember that day so clear when my mother and father went to a house of a certain person. And there we saw the TV. And wow, that was really something. Now, it's almost impossible for all of you younger ones who are listening to imagine what it felt like and what it looked like when a person first saw a television. In fact, I would guess that television, I know this sounds incredulous, but it was about that size. And it was a little thing about that way. And we went into a friend's house, my mother and father, they were invited to come. And there we had seen something that the world had never seen before. And of course, mostly the development of television was back in the day. And it was under the guidance, not totally, but in the guidance of the United States of America. What a great country. That we've had wonderful, wonderful examples of great advances into the future. And it goes without saying that the television changed everything. The radio already had made its way into the world, listening to the radio every night. And it was hard for you to imagine, I would guess. But we had a big box And it was a great box, not the little box of the television. We never had one of those in my house, father's house, my mother's house. But the radio, we had a radio almost the size of this right here, and it had a pretty big speaker. And we would listen every night for the news. My father was kind of a news addict, and we would hear the news, and then we would hear different programs, and we would listen to music and other things. And it was a fantastic, fantastic thing. You are living in another era, another kind of fascination. And the fascination you already have anticipated. Another kind of thing has come into this world. And just to make it simple, the internet and the power of electronics that are being used today. It gives us pause. If we're really wise, to think about where are we at and where are we headed. We've got to somehow think about how this is dealing with this particular time and what are going to be the consequences. I hope you're reading, all of you students, I hope you're taking time with really good newspapers and magazines and books and figure out what men are saying and trying to weigh it out, because we know that these things, electronic inventions, are going to be very, very powerful. The wireless radio was just an amazing thing as well when we started using batteries and television and all those things. Now the internet. And sometimes I believe we start thinking that, oh, this is going to be great. And this is going to be the next powerful thing that's going to turn the world upside down. And that's what people said about radio. The first time we heard it, and we listened to it. And the first time we heard, when the people heard it, of course, the radio had been out for a long, long time before my folks were very small when they first heard radio. But the television, the first time we saw television, it was pretty amazing. And people began to say, oh, this is going to be great. I want to tell you something, though, today. And I really felt this in my heart early this morning. With all the technology, and we're all just intoxicated by it, but we must not start thinking that it's the answer. Radio was not the answer. And television was not the answer. And the electronics that you have today in your generation, all of you, and I'm speaking to the students, it is not what is really going to turn the world upside down. And we think, oh, if we can just manage this, if we can get this, if I got enough money to buy this and buy this, why, I can advance, and we can have millions of people watching the service or millions of people listening to our services all at the same time. But it's not going to be quite that simple. The enemy will always be right in our face, for one thing. But we need to do a little bit of work in the work of faith and the work of a deep understanding. There were people and preachers and friends and families. I can remember my mother and father talking about television, how great it was going to be. It hasn't been great, actually. Just like the internet, in many ways, of course, it's spectacular. It's what we can really imagine, but at the same time, it is destroying lives. People are really being hurt, and especially our children, and the porno issues and all of that is causing tremendous darkness to slip into this world. So we might make a terrible mistake at this moment. In fact, if you read carefully, if you get good papers, if you get good magazines, and you're listening closely to very smart people that will talk to you. You can listen to them. Many of them are speaking on the radio. Many of them are writing books and warning that this world is in a very dangerous place, because what is coming down the pike is not nearly as needed as what we might just kind of be throwing away, because there's something bigger than the television and the internet or the radio or anything else that you can think of. And you know already what it is. It is the power and the anointing of Jesus Christ. His power and his love. Let me just take you
to Acts. You've read this, no doubt, many times. Acts chapter 4, verse number 31. Let's think about this. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, and where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Here is where we should be looking for our power and for our direction. Whatever calling you've had, you need to make sure that you place that calling into the hands of Jesus Christ. If you say, well, I feel like God is going to give me a ministry and give me a church or whatever, I'm going to be a missionary. Remember this. There's not a gadget that's going to make you a good missionary. The internet is not going to make you a good missionary. It's not going to help you. And if I can just get, you know, I can get a good camera, I can get a good this, and I can, maybe I can just get on the internet and I can have thousands of people listening to me. Be careful, because I don't think that's really the path. Now, I know what you might react to this and say, oh, Brother Mooney, poor Brother Mooney. He's trying to live in the past. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to live in the present. I want to live right now and be part of what God is doing and what God has for us. And what he has for us is a great thing. And the apostle says, you know what happened? There was a power and anointing of the Holy Ghost. I read that to you just a little while in Acts chapter 4, verse number 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, and they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. There is your victory. There is what we must do, is to get the anointing and power that comes through prayer and supplication and giving our lives to Jesus Christ. That is what's going to make a difference. We said in those days, my father, my mother, people, oh, look at this. The voice, the man's voice can go all over. Look how powerful this is. Look how great it is. But God is not wanting us to live in some kind of fairyland. He's not a scientific God. In fact, he is a God that's so much greater than anything you can imagine in terms of scientific stuff or any kind of technology. God is not just somebody that has invented. God didn't invent the technology. Men invented the technology, but God is all way ahead of us. He is ahead of us. When we pray, he is there. When the anointing of the Holy Ghost comes and the Spirit touches us, it brings power and anointing into our life. And you, some of you students, will go places in the world. There will be no radio. There will be no television. You won't have the technology, but you don't really need it. And I'm saying that aware that there's some of you that's, oh, poor old Brother Mooney. He's getting so old he doesn't understand. Maybe you need to say, God, help me to understand how this world is going to feel. And how is this world going to feel after the presence of God? Except we get some kind of, we've got to have more technology. No, we need to have more prayer. And we need to have more anointing. And we need to understand that when the Holy Ghost moves into a building, when the Spirit of God touches us, something is really happening. Forget your TVs. Forget all of your instruments. Forget all your calculations and how we did this technological this and technological that. And I understand what we're doing right here today that we couldn't have done without the technology. But did you realize that there's something else that's powerful? It's called prayer. And when we talk to God, God talks back to us. And many times I've had people say, Brother Mooney, I was in prayer, and God spoke to me. I don't discount that. When somebody says, God told me to talk to you and speak to you, to call you, write you a letter. And I'm sometimes stunned at how amazing it is that God can actually speak to somebody. And the next thing you know, God has working in your life. I really have a certain kind of concern that we get so full of technology. We get such an idea of what we're going to do as we're going to get all of this going. We're going to put it all together. God's going to help us, and God's going to send us the money, and God's going to give us people that are so smart we can reach the whole world. But let me tell you what God can do. He can answer your prayer. He can meet you in the darkest moment. He can take you through the worst kind of trial. And what we sometimes think is a loss is actually a victory. And what God sometimes is working in our life, it doesn't seem like God's working. It doesn't seem like anybody's helping you. But in fact, God may be trying you or putting you in a situation. And when you look back, you say, this never would have happened if God had not done that. I thought it was the worst thing I could have ever done. When somebody voted or somebody asked me to come, and I talked to my pastor and I talked to my parents, and I went to this church, this place, and when I got there, it just seemed like nothing was there, and it didn't seem like the will of God. But yet there was some kind of urgency in you, and you went, but it took time. And after a while, God's will and God's blessing and God's intervention into your life became very, very clear. Very, very clear. We didn't reach a radio with television and radio. We didn't reach the world with radio or television. That didn't work that way. We kept reaching out to people through prayer and through fasting and calling upon God, because our God hears us in the night, hears us when we don't understand. And don't be discouraged. And so you sometimes, in your interaction with some of your friends, listen to me, students, and you think, well, he's really smart. He's got all these tools. Sometimes people seem so cool, you don't even want to be around them. You know, they're just, and some of them are just kind of smart alecks. And then other people think, you know, this is what you got to do. You got to do, this. Got to get this. Come on. Just sneak in that prayer room. And you pray and ask God to touch you and wait on God. And he'll open the door. He'll make the way. The Holy Ghost fell from heaven. They went back to that upper room. Didn't even know exactly what the Holy Spirit. Just tarry, God said, until you're endued with power from on high. And that power came. And that power is still upon the earth. And the most amazing thing in this world is not all this electronic stuff. The greatest thing in the world is God answers your prayer. That, listen to me, God hears your prayer. He answers your prayer. God, the creator of all things, creator of the universe, heaven, everything, that God would touch you, that God would speak to you, that God will guide your life. Yes, even if you don't have a radio or a television, you don't even have a guitar. You don't know how to play an instrument. Some of our greatest preachers probably cannot play this or that or anything else. And maybe God doesn't even need any more guitar prayers. Maybe he needs somebody that would just yield and give their souls and lives, and they'll ask God, help us, Lord. That's the kind of God wants us to be. John chapter 5, verse number 14. John chapter 5, verse number 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. My guitar don't hear me at all. My piano don't hear me at all. My mother don't even hardly listen to me. My friends don't listen to me. Nobody understands what God is doing in my heart. But when you talk to God, he hears you. And you know, there are young people all over this world, English-speaking people, people of every language in the world, and they know that God is working in their life, but they don't know how it's going to come together. We like to talk to missionaries because most missionaries when they go overseas, they have to depend upon the power of God, the anointing of God. And sometimes they don't have all the equipment they would like to have. And equipment's not a bad thing. You understand what I'm saying. But at the end of every battle, you got to look up and say, God, we wouldn't have made it if you hadn't have been with us. We wouldn't have made it. And you'll see that. Most of us who have lived for a while, we've pastored or maybe we've been evangelists and we worked. I can remember so many things. I could tell so many stories of there. Sister Mooney and I were out on the road. We didn't know. I borrowed my sister's car, didn't have any money, but God was just opening doors. People that I met and became friends with me and helped me in so many ways. I never knew them. Nobody knew them. My parents didn't. It wasn't like somebody needed to make connections. The connections were just there. It was like God just keeps putting the things in your life. So let us go to that old prayer room and let us kneel and let's trust God and let's not worry so much. You can spend your last dollar for some gadget and you think you're going to reach the world. And by the time you get one gadget, it's already obsolete. And the guy next to you is already more cool than you are. And you're not going to be able to keep. But if you would just pour your life out and pour your heart out, what a difference it's going to make in your life. The fact that God can hear us. We can listen to radio. We can have television. Think of all that. And we can listen. We can listen to those things and we can send out those signals and people can hear us. Today, all over the world, if somebody was, kind of connected that way. But there's something else working. The Holy Ghost and God speaking to us. This is a spiritual world. And we need to understand that our spirit needs to be in relationship to God. And then always remember, God hears your prayer. He knows where you're at. He knows how to help you. He knows how to give you help. Could I tell you something? As a pastor, people are starving to death spiritually. They are starving to death. It's not greater music. It's not even greater oratory. It's not greater personality. It's not this at all. It's something that God wants to develop in us. A knowledge. His presence is there. They spoke with other tongues. The power of God moved into their lives. They were new creatures. They went out into the world. They were fishermen, many of them, and most of carpenters. They were common people, in other words. And yet they lifted up the name of Jesus Christ. And oh, what a difference it can make. God, help us. Help us. Let our confidence, if we can just have confidence and hang on to what God has given us, we can ask anything. Remember that verse? We can ask anything according to His will. And He will hear it. God hears people. If you don't believe that, I guess you could just tear up your Bible, because from the beginning of the Bible to right to the end, we're taught over and over, the prophets, the apostles, even Christ Himself made it clear, I hear you. Every night, when you're going through trouble, I'm there. And when you don't feel like your ministry's not developing and you wonder, sometimes we're around our friends and we think, oh, man, I wish I could speak like him. I wish I could preach like him. I wish I was as smart. I wish I had the same kind of brain as that person. I've had those thoughts myself and realized, wow, I wish I was able to do better. I wish I was more talented. I wish I had more gifts. All of us have that one thing, and that is that God hears us, and God gives us a chance. He gives us a way, and He gives us an anointment and power. I don't want any student listening to me right now to ever be discouraged and quit trying to play the game. This game is moving so fast in the world, and all of this electronics, and we think that's the way. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. it's probably not the best way for us to communicate, just having electronic connections. Those things are not bad, and we're doing the best we can. But at the end of the day, we're going to be knocking at doors, and we're going to be laying hands on people, and we're going to be with people, and God is going to teach us, and he's going to bring into our lives the messages that need to be heard, first of all in our hearts, and then we're going to be able to touch people. And the old revival way, and I look, this is not any kind of accusation against modernity, but we need to understand that God still answers prayer, and God still wants us to pray, and he wants to show us that we cannot find a solution to the problems of this world, but except to put our trust in God. So as you move along, students, in your thinking and your desire, you need to make connections, of course. You need as good an education as you possibly can. And you need the counsel of your pastor and your parents. And if you have talents, give it and work it. That is very, very important. But if you don't have the greatest talent in the world, you still have God. And it's amazing. You'd be surprised at some of the greatest revivals. My folks would talk about brother and so-and-so or sister so-and-so. And, you know, we didn't think they were going to be such great preachers, but they turned out. Some of you don't know yet what God is going to do for you and where he's going to put you. If I had time, I'd love to just tell the story. I love telling the great stories of how God helped us, how God provided things, how God had somebody knock on the door and give me almost $1,000, $800 and some. I can never forget that. How could that happen? It was God. And in the fear of God, I tell the story when I tell it because it's just so magnificent. He's with you, and that's all you need. And let me say it to you today. Don't get all tied up in this world and think you've got to have everything. Just do what God tells you to do. Go in that upper room, and what are we going to do? Just wait. You don't even need a guitar in the upper room. Just wait on God. And I'm saying that a little facetiously, but we love you. God bless you. Thank you very much. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak to you a little bit. I don't know who's next here. There you are, my man. Thank you, staff. Thank all of you. God bless you. We love you.
Thank you, Pastor. Why don't we just close our eyes wherever you're at and let's just reach out in the Spirit. Let's just ask God to strengthen us and be with us. Lord, we thank you for the challenge that's gone forth this morning. God, I pray that your anointing would touch all of our students wherever they may be right now, that you would reach into their space and lift them up and encourage them. Those that have been discouraged and those that are weary and those that are overwhelmed by the stresses of this world, I pray, God, that your power and your strength would be made manifest in the name of Jesus. God, pour it out. Give us a confidence that we know that we are called by you, that whatever the mission field looks like, whatever the calling takes us, that God, we will succeed and we can reach this world. We are not relying upon technology, but we're relying upon our voice. We're relying upon the Spirit of God. We're relying upon the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the word that we have within us that's burning. Oh God, lead us into a new dimension of your Spirit, a fresh anointing, so to speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Have your way, oh God. Come on, that's it. Just lift your voice right now. Come on, lift your voice unto God. We worship you.